welcome to the Food for Your Souls podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible, Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
How much power does this promise of power afford you as an individual? How much power do you get as an individual with this promise? And secondly, how do you get the power? Once it's promised, how do you get it in your life? So let's answer those two questions. We'll start with the first one. How much? What are the limitations of this thing? We all know that there are certain things that you just simply can't do, right? You don't have the power. Al Mohler reads a book a day. He reads a book every day. I'm doing good if I can read a page a day. The Holy Spirit has empowered me to do a lot of things. Reading a book a day is not one of them. I do not have that capacity. So my question is, what exactly is included in Philippians 4:13 when it says you can do all things? I mean, what kind of all things? What's included in that? Because for me, a book a day is not included. Well, one place to answer that question of what's included is 2 Peter 1:3, where he says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. The period doesn't come after the word everything. He didn't say he's given us everything. He says he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. The Holy Spirit hasn't given me the ability to read like Al Mohler because I don't need to read like Al Mohler in order to carry out my calling. If I did, he would have given me that. If you have an employee that needs access to the office, you give him a key to the office. If he doesn't need access to the warehouse in order to do his job, then it doesn't make any sense to give him a key to the warehouse. In fact, you would actually be doing him a disservice if you gave him a key to the warehouse because it would just confuse him about his job description. He'd say, I must be supposed to be going in the warehouse, but I'm not sure what. Why? You know, why do I have this key? Thankfully, God doesn't do that. He does not confuse us by giving us abilities, access to abilities, that we don't need for our calling. So that we're not confused about what our calling is. Now, be careful here, because God has called me to a ministry that does require a huge amount of reading every day. And so I need to work hard. I mean, I'm not a good reader. I have to work hard at improving in that area. I have to work hard at taking full advantage of whatever capacity God did give me to become a better reader, and I need to work at that. But once I hit the ceiling of my capacity to improve, I don't have to fret over the fact that I can't do what other men can do. I don't have to worry about that. It's silly for an eye to fret and stew over the fact that it can't hear or smell. It's not his job. God made you for a purpose in the body, and he promises to supply absolutely everything you need to fulfill that purpose. There's nothing he calls you to do that you can't do. Nothing. Ever. So whenever you find yourself saying, well, I can't, and then that's followed by something that the Bible commands you to do, like, I can't control my temper. I can't break this addiction. I can't stay in this marriage. I can't love that person. I can't forgive him. I can't. Anytime you have any of that, I can't, followed by something that God commands all of us to do, what you're really saying is, the Holy Spirit can't. The Holy Spirit doesn't have enough power to do it. If he's our power supply, and we don't have enough power to do something that he commands, that means the power supply is too weak. When you decide you can never change, or that person, he can never change, or you decide, I can't resist this temptation, or you're accusing the Holy Spirit of being too weak to pull off what Jesus sent him here to do. Well, we all know the Holy Spirit's not too weak, right? He's not weak at all. He has plenty of power to pull off what he was sent here to do, which means the problem must lie on our end somewhere. I mean, if there's a power supply that's perfectly good and there's nothing wrong with this power supply, but over here there's no power, then there must be a bad connection. Right? There's got to be a bad connection if there's nothing wrong with the power supply. So the question is, where we lack power, how do we make this connection? How do we get plugged in to this power source? The empowering work of the Spirit is like the enlightening work of the Spirit. It's not automatic. It's a two-way thing. Fellowship is not a one-way thing that we just receive from God. It's a two-way interaction. You get more of it or less of it depending on how responsive and receptive you are to it and how responsive you are to the Holy Spirit's work. So how do we do that? How do we become more receptive, more responsive? Or to put it in the words of Ephesians 5:18, how do you become filled by the Holy Spirit? Last week we talked about how to be filled up to the brim, full of enlightenment by the Spirit. How do we get filled up to the brim with empowerment by the Spirit? I was talking to somebody about this last week, and he put it really well. I like what he said. He said, what do I do in those times when I'm trying to exercise self-discipline, and my flesh just takes a stand and says, I am not going to do that, and you can't make me? That's great. Isn't that how it is sometimes? It's just like the flesh, like, you can't make me do this. And you're sitting there like, you're right, I can't. How do you overcome the power of the flesh when it gets like that? Last week we talked about the receptivity part, being receptive to what the Spirit is doing. I want to take it to the next step now today to talk about not just receptivity, but responsiveness. Not just one way, but two way interaction, fellowship with the Spirit. The Spirit supplies the power, and we respond by taking full advantage of that power. Same thing with enlightenment. He provides the enlightenment. He provides understanding, insight, knowledge. You take that, you respond by putting that knowledge to work in the kingdom. He doesn't give you knowledge just for no reason. He wants you to put it to work. He didn't give you your spiritual gift for nothing. He supplies power and ability and strength and enablement for a purpose. He wants you to use it in His service. Put it to work in His kingdom. Do mighty things. Church, do mighty things with your spiritual gifts in His kingdom. The power's there. Put your gift to work. Put it to work. You know, your spiritual gift isn't the only way that the Holy Spirit wants to use you in this world, but it is the main way. It's the main way that He wants to use you. It's a means of you accomplishing awesome, huge, powerful things in the kingdom. So, do what Paul told Timothy to do. Fan into flame your gift. Take your gift, maybe your gift is just a capacity, it's ability, but it's not really developed. Fan it into flame. Read some books on how to get better at that. Focus on that. Pour yourself in, do a lot of ministries that involve that. Take advantage of it. Put it to work in His kingdom. Do great things through your gift. Take advantage of it. And don't just take advantage of your gift, but take advantage of our gifts too. The rest of the church's gifts. All the gifts. Immerse yourself in the church and receive the grace that comes through everybody's spiritual gift. I mean, do you realize what this place is? It's a gathering of people, all of whom have a particular fire hose of grace connected to heaven called their spiritual gift that you have access to if you come. Peter talks about how we are dispensers of God's grace. We are stewards of it. Every Christian is an outlet for the outpouring of grace. Every Christian. What God has done is He's opened up portals. If you watch sci-fi movies, and you can think of it this way, He's opened up portals to heaven. Conduit from heaven to earth where grace can come down. And they're called Christians. And He's taken these portals, openings to heaven, and just scattered them all over the world. And there's not many of them. You don't run into them everywhere. You just, from time to time, you run into them. And when you run into them, it's especially delightful. You go to work Monday through Friday. You might bump into one or two. And when it happens, it's a great joy, isn't it? You're just kind of meandering through life, bumping around with all these unbelievers. And all of a sudden, you run into a Christian who just loves the Lord. And it's a delight, isn't it, when that happens? But you know, on Sunday morning, an incredible thing happens. All these portals of grace from all around gather together in one place. Sunday mornings, The Holy Spirit is handing out freebies of grace by the truckload in the church for anybody who comes with an expectant, receptive, responsive heart. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. Be filled by the Spirit means let your life be topped off to the brim with enlightenment and strengthening that the Holy Spirit offers through the Scriptures and through the ministry of the church. Sometimes people get confused about the relationship between the empowering of the Spirit and our own working, our own effort. Someone says, I'm not going to put forth any effort. You know, they'll say, I don't have to do Bible study. I just rely on the Holy Spirit to just show me what the Bible means. Just tell me the truth. And I'm not going to do the work. That's like a farmer saying, I'm not going to plant seeds. I'm not going to cultivate my field. I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to wait for Him to give me a crop. Because doesn't the Bible say, he who plants and he who waters is nothing but God who gives makes things grow? Only God can give growth. Only He can provide a crop. Isn't that true? Well, yeah, it's true. But He just doesn't do it for farmers who won't get out there and work. The farmer who really trusts God will use the means that God has provided to get what God promises. So the farmer who really trusts God will be the hardest working farmer out there. The Christian who really, truly relies on the Holy Spirit will be the hardest studier, the hardest worker that's around so that he can fully utilize the means that the Holy Spirit has provided to gain access to this enlightenment and power.
Well, this is our final week of this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast on loving God. We'll wrap it up this Friday. Then on Monday, we have something special for you that will be a little different. You've heard me mention the book Deeper Knowledge of God during this series. That's a daily devotional on the attributes of God that is devoted to learning how to experience God's presence on a daily basis by enjoying His attributes. That devotional will show you how to take the principles in these podcasts and put them into practice in your daily life. But today, I want to let you know about a second daily devotional that I've written. The old one is called Deeper Knowledge of God. This new one is titled Lost in Prayer, Communing with God by Contemplating His Word. It's designed to help you pray and meditate on God's Word without getting distracted. I don't know about you, but distraction is by far the greatest enemy in my prayer life. And so I wrote this devotional for myself. You can get a copy if you want, but really it's for me. The print and Kindle versions are already available, but as of the time I recorded this, the audio version still isn't out. Hopefully it'll be out by the time you hear this. You can find out about all the versions and how to order on drichardferguson.com. That website has all the books on there that are available. drichardferguson.com. So next week, you'll get a free sample of this devotional. Each day next week, I plan to play one chapter from that devotional so you can get a feel for it. So don't miss that starting Monday. But for this week, we've still got a little more work to do on the Holy Spirit. Our topic for tomorrow, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.